welcome to another episode of Comic Talk Today. I'm having a great day today. I'm off of work. I'm about to go watch the Titans TV show that premiered today. I'll probably be recording something in the next couple days with my first impressions on it. But that's not what I'm here to talk about today. I want to talk about James Gunn. And before you decide to tune out, stick with me because this is not your typical comic news podcast. This is Comic Talk Today. You know, I like to dive deep into some of these topics. And of course, I don't like to talk about rumors, so, you know, there's been rumors about James Gunn taking over the Suicide Squad 2, and it's been rumors for the last few days. But today's DC Daily, if you don't check that out, then maybe you should. It's a quick, like, 5-10 minute daily show from the DC Universe streaming service. I think they also posted on their YouTube channel. The DC Universe version has a little more extended discussion than just the news bits, but pretty good. I think much better than the previous show, by the way. Anyways, they announced that officially James Gunn is confirmed to be working on Suicide Squad 2. So I want to talk about that a little bit. Now, if you listen to this podcast regularly, you know that I have not talked about the whole James Gunn Guardians of the Galaxy thing. And there's a good reason for that. I don't like to get involved in rumors, of course. Rumors are not my thing. I mean, if I'm going to report on something and talk about it, then I want to have something that I can base my discussion on. I also don't like to bring in the politics either, right? So if James Gunn gets fired for posting old tweets, whatever. That's the case, okay? I mean, I can go into what I actually feel about that. I'm not going to. If you have feelings on it, please let me know on Twitter at Geekvine. You can email the new email address, yell@comictalk.today. Yes, that's a real email address. I'm not making that up because I want to hear about it. But there's been a lot of controversy, right? So Disney decides to fire James Gunn for whatever reason, supposedly because of these old tweets. And I gotta say, look, if you got old stupid tweets, just delete them. You know, people forget. You're on social media. Everything's public. So if you want to say something, then say what you truly mean. I know that leads to a lot of garbage, in particular on Twitter and on social media, and that's fine. But, you know, there's plenty of opinions, and I think every opinion has a little bit of truth at least within it. Now, of course, my assumption is that the reason for the firing was a little more than just tweets. There had to be something else going on with this whole thing. And I wonder if maybe James Gunn just really wasn't happy being there. And maybe he was trying to sell himself to another studio. Say, I don't know, Warner Brothers, for example. That's possible. I don't know, right? That's conjecture. It's a rumor. So I can't really talk about that. But now it's confirmed. He's in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So let's talk about that. Let's forget about the Guardians stuff. Now, I really enjoyed the first Suicide Squad movie. I know, this is another episode of hashtag unpopular opinions, and that's fine. But you know what, I don't have a problem with hashtag unpopular opinions, because as I found out on social media, whenever I post my unpopular opinions, it seems like a lot of you also have those unpopular opinions. I've talked about Men of Steel many times, for example, where when I rewatched it a few months ago, a lot of people were like, hey, I also love it, I just never wanted to say anything because everyone thinks it's a crappy movie. I think that's true for a lot of these DC movies as well, right? Like, I've seen Batman Superman many times. I saw Justice League in theaters like 5 times. Look, there is no shame in my game. This is the hashtag episode. Hashtag no shame. Hashtag unpopular opinions. You like what you like. You know what I'm saying? Don't let other people tell you what you should and shouldn't like. I try to do that when I talk about comics, for example. I know I haven't done my my catching up on comics episode yet. That was going to be coming out today, but this James Gunn thing came out, so that'll be out tomorrow instead. But don't let other people, you know, tell you what you should or shouldn't like. It's irrelevant. You know, we live in a society where you see trailers for all kinds of things. You see trailers for trailers. Like, golly, what have we come to? Why do we want to be spoiled about everything? I know a lot of you don't read, like, comic solicitations anymore, and that's fine. I try not to do solicitations on here because, to be frank, they're a little bit boring as well. But I've gotten to a point where I don't even like to watch trailers, to be honest. I mean, I'll watch some, but not all of them. So, for example, you know, the Captain Marvel trailer came out, and I talked about that on the show. And the reason for that is, I mean, the movie's still 9 months out. So whatever is shown in the trailer, I don't feel like is a real indication of what it is we're going to see in the film. I mean, it gives you an idea, but not a true indication. You know, back in the day, I feel like such an old man. When I was a kid, I used to walk in the snow barefoot. In 3 feet of snow, uphill both ways. But, you know, back in the day we had, maybe one trailer you'd see it on TV. You know, maybe like during a Super Bowl or whatever. And it got you excited for things. Now we just have like trailers all the time. And it's like, okay, it generates excitement. But at one point the kind of think to yourself, ugh, just bring the movie out already, or bring the TV show out already, or bring the comic book out already. I'm tired of all these trailers. Anyways, I love Suicide Squad. I thought it was a really fun film. I took my girls to see them. They're 15 and 8. They really enjoyed it. In fact, my 8-year-old loves it. And of course, a lot of that has to do with Harley Quinn, I would assume, which, you know, I gotta say, I do love me some Harley Quinn. Maybe not so much in the comics, but, I think the Margot Robbie Harley Quinn was quite good. And I hadn't talked about the, trailer at New York Comic Con for the Harley Quinn animated TV show that's coming out on DC Universe next year, but, I thought that looked fantastic. I think they really nailed Harley. They really nailed Poison Ivy. And, I enjoy the humor. It was a little on the nose, right? It was a little Deadpool-y. In fact, they even make fun of Deadpool. But, I thought it was really fantastic. And the weird thing is they didn't even show anything about the actual movie, right? It was just Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn in a prison cell just making jokes. Well, actually, Harley making jokes and Poison being like, hey, that joke's a little played out. So anyway, it was funny. So, I do love Margot Robbie, though. I think she's a brilliant actress. And of course, she's beautiful to look at, so that helps. But I thought Suicide Squad was a fun film. There were some pacing issues, and I'll give you that. For example, that scene where they hop into the bar and start talking about their problems, that seemed a little bit forced to me, and I know that was part of the reshoots for the movie, so maybe they shouldn't have done that, I don't know. I don't know if there's an extended director's cut. If there is, maybe I should watch it and see if there's some differences. I know that helped some of the other films, like, for example, Man of Steel and Batman v Superman. God, Batman v Superman, that extended director's cut, holy moly, was that brilliant. If you only seen the theatrical release of that film, you are doing yourself a disservice. Forget that movie and watch the extended cut, which is weird because technically it's the same film with just a few minutes added, but those few minutes really help so much with expanding the story. Anyway, Suicide Squad, everyone's hating on it, right? I loved it. I think we saw it in theaters twice, and then we've seen it since it came out at home. We've seen it a couple times as well. Zoe loves it. She also loves Guardians of the Galaxy, which makes me think that of course I'm going to go see Suicide Squad 2 with my kids once again because, number one, they love the movie. Number two, the guy they love from the other movie is going to be writing it. Now, they haven't said yet if he's directing. I don't think that's been officially announced yet. But my assumption is if he's writing it, chances are he's probably going to direct it as well. I know there's been some controversy with the Suicide Squad 2 movie as well. The writer and the producer and maybe the director for that film recently left the film. And the reason for that is that they just turned the script in pretty recently. I want to say maybe a month or two ago. And it turns out that the script that they had written for Suicide Squad 2 was extremely similar to the Birds of Prey movie that's going to be coming out with the aforementioned Margot Robbie. And I know there was some news. I talked a little bit about casting. They also cast Renee Montoya recently. And that's going to be Rosie Perez, which I find kind of an odd choice. But, you know, I'm in on this movie. So far, I like what I'm seeing. And, of course, I never thought I'd see Orphan in a film. So that's pretty awesome. I love Orphan. I think she's an extremely underrated character. But one that's seen quite a bit of resurgence recently. So it makes sense that she would be in this film. So because the plots for the two movies were so close, instead of saying, okay, well, I guess I'll just buckle down and write another movie, they just decided to leave it. And you can't blame them, right? I mean, these guys take months and months, sometimes years to write a script to get a movie worked out in their head where they have a vision. And then to see that, you know, there's somebody else doing another film with basically the same plot as yours, must be pretty difficult. Must be pretty difficult. In particular, if it's the same studio, right? If it was a different studio, like if these guys were doing Suicide Squad 2 and the Birds of Prey movie was something over at DC, I don't know. Let's just say like Dragon Sisters, right? Which I would watch the shit out of that, by the way. Ooh, potty mouth. Excuse me. But, you know, that'd be a little different, right? Two different studios, not that big a deal. I mean, for us as movie watchers, we might be like, well, this is kind of the same film. But that kind of thing happens all the time, right? There's always trends. One of my favorite movies of all time is Dark City. And it's extremely similar to The Matrix. I think actually much better done because it's told somewhat in a crime noir setting, whereas opposed to The Matrix, it's a little more modern and sci-fi-ish. There are sci-fi elements in Dark City, but Dark City is brilliant. And it came out before The Matrix. But, of course, you know, both films were being shot at the same time. And this happens a lot, right? We have disaster movies like, whatever that Bruce Willis movie is. Armageddon, maybe? Is that what it is? With, Ben Affleck. That one and, you know, the disaster movies are coming out like 3 or 4 at a time. And they all have similar things. Or like, what was the one, the core, I guess, where they have to reboot the Earth's core. There were a couple that came out roughly at the same time. And, you know, part of it could be like, yeah, this studio's doing this movie. Let's do something similar because that's an awesome idea and I can't believe we missed out. But at the same time, a lot of it is, kind of the zeitgeist of culture, you know, where there are certain things happening around us and it gives people the same ideas, right? Different ideas oftentimes sprout in seemingly very different places and create the same type of technology or story, right? You see this in like mythology, for example. There's a lot of mythology origin stories around the world that are very similar, even though some of those cultures may never have had any contact with each other. You see this kind of thing with technology as well, where like, you know, agriculture could be created in the Middle East and China at the same time, or, you know, like cement or whatever technology, it doesn't matter. It's the same thing with films and sometimes with comics as well. So because these two things were in the same studio, of course it makes sense that, hey, like, let's not make this movie twice. And now with James Gunn being kind of tossed out of Disney pretty violently, I would say, it makes sense that they would bring the guy in because he's done a lot of films and I love the majority of films. In fact, it's really weird the progression of James Gunn. If you ever looked at his filmography, he's definitely done a lot of superhero stuff, right? Like he did the specials and Super. They were kind of more indie films, but they're superhero type stories. He's done a lot of horror stuff as well. I wish he'd do more horror, actually. I think he got to start doing the trauma films, like Tromeo and Juliet and a couple other ones. And from there, you know, caught people's attention. I think the first like big movie he did might have been Scooby-Doo. But oddly enough, he wrote one of my favorite zombie films of all time. I've talked about this movie so many times, not on this podcast, but it shows up on Nerd Legion quite a bit. Dawn of the Dead, the remake from, oh, I don't know, early 2000s, 02, 3, 4, 5, somewhere around that era. Brilliant film based on an original George Romero movie from the 70s. The update on it was fantastic. And oddly enough, I think directed by Zack Snyder. So there's that connection there. But he's had a really interesting progression of filmmaking. And of course, Guardians was a huge hit for him and for Marvel. And, you know, it kind of let him get loose, right? Where he could kind of do whatever he wanted, I would say, at Disney. Until, of course, the recent firing. But, you know, DC needs that kind of creativity, that kind of new way of looking at older stories. And I think that's something that James Gunn is really good at. And, you know, the initial reporting on this is that he's taking Suicide Squad 2 in a brand new direction. And of course, there's many things that can mean. Now, what I hope it means is that we see some new characters popping in. And I was trying to figure out, like, what characters would I love to see in a Suicide Squad 2? Because, his buddy Dave Bautista, who played Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy, as soon as the rumors started going around, he's like, where do I sign up? And I think it's interesting, right? I mean, I don't feel Drax is kind of a huge player in the Marvel Cinematic Universe anyway, where they would have to do a big death for Drax. I know the character is very beloved because I think the portrayal of Dave Bautista as Drax has been really fantastic, right? He's like the stoic character, but extremely funny, and it works very well for that character. And so I thought about it, and this was kind of like my initial thoughts on what a new Suicide Squad team could look like. And then I actually thought about it some more, and I thought about kind of what kind of story I would like to see in this. Because if it's very different, what does different mean? And, you know, with Dave Bautista, I would love to see him do, I know everyone's always like, oh, Dave Bautista as Bane would be awesome. And like, okay, Dave Bautista as Bane would actually be pretty cool. I'll give you that. I mean, we saw Bane in film. We don't talk about that Bane in film because it was not, we'll just say not the best. I'm sure there were people that liked that interpretation of Bane. I particularly did not. I thought it worked pretty well with the overall plot, but the actual portrayal of Bane was not my favorite. And sure, Bautista could do it. But the thing is, like, you always see these actors and you're like, oh, that guy would be such and such. He would play him so well. And maybe he does, and he's terrible. And then you have the opposite end where you're like, oh, like Heath Ledger's Joker. Oh, Heath Ledger as the Joker, that's going to be terrible. Well, guess what? It was pretty freaking awesome. And we're not going to talk about Batman 89, but that was a whole thing too, right? Because everyone's like, oh, how dare you cast Michael Keaton as Batman? He's this short little comedian guy that's balding. He's not Bruce Wayne. Bruce Wayne is tall and handsome and muscular. And he was actually really damn good. Still not my favorite Batman movie, by the way. I have to always throw that in there. But yeah, so Bautista could be a good Bane. But what about something cooler? Something that we haven't seen, like, I don't know, King Shark. How about that? Why don't you bring King Shark in? That could be interesting. not only could it be interesting in terms of the story itself, but it brings a whole new different look into the Suicide Squad and also gives you kind of a connection to a little movie that's coming out on December 21st called Aquaman. Have you thought about that? I know, you know, last week or the week before, I did a whole episode on maybe DC should focus on self-contained stories, and I still totally believe that. But why not throw little Easter eggs in there where if things do work out down the line, when you have this thing set up where you don't force all these movies within a year or two to be put together, to be joined in a similar story, where 5-10 years down the line, you put a Marvel and you actually can have a Justice League 2 or the Batman movie or a brand new Man of Steel movie. Why not plant those seeds early on? And I think that'd be great to see King Shark in a Suicide Squad. Another one that'd be really good at, I think, would be Solomon Grundy, because I love Solomon Grundy. Solomon Grundy is one of my favorite characters. I don't want to say villain because he's not always the villain. Sometimes he's the hero. By the way, if you've never read James Robinson's Starman, do yourself a favor and go read that. And that is, I think, one of my favorite interpretations of Solomon Grundy, because he's so emotional. I mean, God, when Solomon Grundy would show up in that book, I would tear up sometimes. It's absolutely fantastic. Solomon Grundy would be a good one because, of course, he has shown up in the Gotham TV show. And, again, not my favorite interpretation. I kind of understood what they were trying to do. I think it worked pretty well for what direction they took the character in. But it's not the direction I would have chosen for Solomon Grundy. And Solomon Grundy would be great in the Suicide Squad. I mean, the guy can't be killed, so he's perfect for a Suicide Squad. And then I went back and I thought a little bit more about how could we extrapolate from Suicide Squad, the original film, into the second movie. And there's a couple things that I would change, and I think the main thing that I would change is Margot Robbie. And I know some people are going to be like, well, she was kind of one of the best things about that movie, and frankly, I will completely agree with you. But I don't want what I've had in comics to happen in the film, and that is oversaturation. Because Harley's going to be, I think, in two different films. I can't remember what the second was, but of course she's going to be, you know what, it might be the Suicide Squad 2 that she's been rumored to be in, but she's going to be in Birds of Prey. And I don't want to see this character in so many films. I know Marvel does that pretty well, right? Like Cap has his own films, Iron Man has his own films, Thor has his own films, and then they have the Avengers films. And that works just as well. But I don't want the oversaturation that I got in comics. I mean, I used to love characters like Wolverine, and now I just don't really care, right? Like Wolverine just returned. You know what I haven't done? I haven't read The Return of Wolverine #1 because, quite frankly, I'm not sure I care. I'm not sure I care. I mean, yeah, he's been gone for years. God, was he in everything for a while. And when I was growing up reading comics, he was literally in every single comic book. Literally. Not just the inside, but also the covers. And that got a little bit of annoying. You know, Deadpool's kind of gone in that direction within the comics as well. Harley Quinn has taken a note from the Deadpool as well. And it seems like there's, you know, 3-4 Harley books. That's not the case now. But 3-4 Harley books and, you know, 15 different Deadpool books. And, you know, if you're a Deadpool fan or a Harley fan, then maybe that works for you. But I think for the majority of people, that's not really what we want. We want some more diversity in the types of stories that we get. So really what I'd like to see is for Harley Quinn to not be in Suicide Squad 2. Maybe like a cameo. I think that'd be fine. But don't put her in the film, because with the way that the original film ended, I think it would automatically have us bring in Harley with the Joker. And Jared Leto's Joker was okay. It's kind of a weird take. And the thing is, Jared Leto is in so many places right now that I'm not really sure what's going on, right? Like one day he's playing a Marvel villain, like he's going to be Morbius in the Morbius film, the Superman, or not Superman, Spider-Man villain. He's going to be Morbius there. He's played the Joker. He's been tied to other projects. I know he was tied to like the Bloodshot film at one point. I don't think that's still the case. It's just too much. Don't bring in Harley and the Joker. Let them go and do their own thing, okay? Maybe you do a cameo where you can set up into Birds of Prey, but don't have her in the film. And based on the events of Suicide Squad #1, I wonder, like, what other character would maybe not work. Like, Deadshot was great. I thought Will Smith did a fantastic job. But there's other characters that could replace Deadshot in that film. Rick Flagg was an interesting choice. I think pretty well portrayed. But somebody else could lead the team. I mean, you can have, like, Vixen leading the team. She's been on there before. And that was a really interesting story that she went through with her mental health, where she couldn't control her abilities, and so she was placed into the Suicide Squad. And that would work well for this film, right? Because if she can't control her abilities, granted, we normally, I think, see her more as a hero type. And she's been in Legends of Tomorrow on the CW, so people are aware of who Vixen is. She has her own web exclusive It's not web exclusive. CWC, well, I guess CWC is web exclusive, but that animated cartoon that they did with Vixen was actually pretty good. But she could be an interesting choice to lead the Suicide Squad. And he could take the team in brand new directions, which I, of course, really enjoy. Because James Gunn is really good at that. At taking stories and ideas that we already know, expand them, and do something new with them. Again, I hate to go back to Dawn of the Dead because it's not comic related, but something I really enjoy. And the original film was fantastic. But it was very much a sign of its times. The movies, horror films in the 70s were very much social commentary. And I still feel like horror films should always be some kind of social commentary. But it was very much a sign of its times. And the stuff that he took out of that story, for example, the motorcycle gang at the mall, actually made the remake, that the 2000-whatever remake, quite a bit better. Because it focused more on the central cast of characters instead of this fight with another group. Now, what kind of team I would like to see in Suicide Squad overall, I don't know. I mean, I have a few characters that I wouldn't mind seeing on there. But overall, I don't really have a team that I'd be set on. I think what would be really interesting, though, is if this film actually went a completely different direction. And I thought about this quite a bit. Based on the types of stuff that James Gunn does, why not take the Suicide Squad back to its origin? Because Suicide Squad, the film, was a lot more in terms of, the current iteration of the Suicide Squad. Not quite maybe the modern, but there was a mix of the modern rebirth Justice League or Suicide Squad, along with like the earlier post-crisis Suicide Squad, which was, you know, a little different than the original series, the John Ostrander series. I think the John Ostrander stuff would actually be really interesting to bring in to a film, because I think it would make this film a completely different kind of film. You still have the team elements, but it would be a little bit more like a covert military ops superhero team taking on kind of modern issues. And in that original one, there were a couple of organizations that the Suicide Squad went up against. For example, Cobra. I think Cobra would be really cool to see in film. The Onslaught was another one. I think that was in the first arc of the original Suicide Squad. That was kind of an international terrorist group. And I think that would work well with the way that things go politically and militarily in the real world, right? Make it kind of a military covert ops team with these super people-powered beings who kind of maybe don't really want to be there or have no choice but to be there. Because a lot of times when we see military films, right, people in the military are very much about their country and very much about the mission, completing the mission for the betterment of the world. That is the mentality that is required to do some of these things. But the Suicide Squad isn't that, because most of these people don't want to be there. Now, they may eventually find a home in the Suicide Squad, but they don't want to be there. And because of the basic central thesis of the Suicide Squad, in which it's a team controlled by Amanda Waller that is sent to do missions nobody else could do, and with exploitable characters who don't have to last past a particular arc, who could easily be killed at any point of the story, it works great for the Suicide Squad, because now you don't need to have the original Suicide Squad team members. You can have a brand new team, and you can do that with every single film. But I think it'd be cool to plant some seeds in the Suicide Squad for other things. I already mentioned King Shark, but for example, there was a story with Dr. Light and Apocalypse and the Forever People in a later arc of that original run. I think it might have been towards the end, actually, one of the last few arcs. And it was fantastic. And guess what? It would also tie in perfectly to this world that you want to build. Because even though I think I want self-contained stuff, I think ultimately DC would like to imitate some of the Marvel success and create this ginormous cinematic universe where things can become connected at some point. And think about it. We already had Apocalypse references in Justice League. In fact, from things that I've read, originally Zack Snyder planned on having Apocalypse show up in the Justice League film and set it up for the Justice League 2 sequel, in which Apocalypse would become the main villain. If you watch that film, that makes perfect sense. So why not bring that in here? I mean, a Forever People movie? Count me in on that. If DC wants to succeed in this thing, they need to try new things and not just try to bring in comic book stories into the films. Now, if you listen to this podcast all the time, you know that I say this all the time. I don't want a rehash of a comic story in a film. If I wanted to see that story, I would go and read the comic. Chances are, I probably already read the comic. So I don't want to see just the thing up on a big movie screen or on my TV. I want something new and different, exciting. So I don't know. Those are my thoughts on the Suicide Squad 2 James Gunn announcement. Breaking news. Let me know what you think about that. I think there's a lot to think about in this. I think it could potentially be something really great for DC going forward. And I think DC did rush some things quite a bit. And I think now they've realized that that's the case. They've done a lot of reshuffling at the C level, the corporate level, over at Warner Brothers, within DC itself, within the movie studios. So they definitely want to try something new. And what that is, I'm not sure they really know yet, but they need somebody that will be able to do like we have at Marvel, where they can plan out all these phases of films and develop things slowly, give you a buildup where 10 years down the line, we might have an awesome Infinity War apocalypse. I don't know. I just made that up. But an awesome story with a big villain that makes sense, that for us as nerds who grew up reading these characters really pays off for. And for just the average movie viewer, it's something that really excites them and makes them want to see the next one. By the way, I know some of you are going to say, oh, well, Suicide Squad bombed at the box office. Guess what? It didn't bomb at the box office. It did like $775 million. If you compare that to Guardians of the Galaxy, I think Guardians of the Galaxy 1 was closer to $800 million and 2 was almost $900 million. So in terms of box office, they're roughly the same. So that's not an excuse I ever want to hear. Now, if you want to look at like Rotten Tomatoes ratings, that's a different story, but whatever. I don't care what other people review a particular film or TV. I just care about my personal review. And I hope you do the same. So, get in touch with me at Geekvine on Twitter. Always the best place. I practically live there. Well, not so much now. I'm trying to do a little less social media during the days. So, you'll still find me on there quite a bit. And of course, the brand new email address, yell@comictalk.today. This will be a perfect time to yell at me. So send me an email. Let me know. I'll be back tomorrow when I do my final catch-up in my last couple of weeks of comics. And then there may be a couple other things in the works. So stay tuned for that. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you on the next one.